What a delight to be in a place to where the Lord is so lavishly celebrated and His glory is so wonderfully evident. At times, learning to stand in the midst of adversity and our voice we would raise even in a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice costs something. It costs us false focus on this world's hocus pocus. It cost us just our adrenaline being involved in anxiety and to look away from that. And it cost us religious reserve. And to begin to exalt Him, even as Israel in the wilderness, spring up, O well, within my soul. And the next thing we know, there's this fountainous flow that shoots like geysers on high and comes down in a refreshment that can't be denied, because we began by lifting our hands in what at that time was a dry and thirsty land. The psalmist put it this way. In a dry and a thirsty land, to You I lift up my hands. Surely, Lord, will I seek Your face to behold Your glory and Your grace. In a dry and a thirsty land, to You I lift up my hands. Surely, Lord, will I seek Your face to behold Your glory and Your grace. Your loving kindness is more precious than my life, so I will bless You while I live. My soul is satisfied in the abundance of Your grace. To You all glory I will give. In a dry and a thirsty land, to You I lift up my hands. Early, Lord, will I seek Your face to behold Your glory and Your grace. Now the enemy who seeks my soul to devour will fall by the King's own holy sword. My soul shall see the swift deliverance of His power and rejoice in the glory of my Lord. In a dry and a thirsty land, to You I lift up my hands. Early, Lord, will I seek Your face to behold Your glory and Your grace. So important in these days, the people would say, as they would respond to the Lord of the light of day, Lord, even with an agony of travail, declaring that You never fail, I would ask that You cultivate that priority of purpose in me that is the passion, the supreme priority of Your purpose too. That purpose being that the world Your glory be seeing. For as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. For as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The glory, the expressed majesty of Him, the assertive might that delivers, the passionate valuing of people, and His marvelous purity of holiness. That's the expressed excellence of God. That's the manifestation of glory. That's His passionate purpose. It's written again and seen in Isaiah 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Yes, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Yes, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You give me songs in the night till the morning light breaks in on me. The darkness gives way to the light of the day You promised I'd see. Meanwhile, with a smile,
In the dark I hearken to your voice and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. Your blessed balm flows as billows of calm o'er my soul. You light the fire of your spirit that drives out the cold. Renewing rivers flow through my embattled mind, waking the ears of my heart, waking to find. You give me songs in the night, till the morning light breaks in on me. The darkness gives way to the light of the day you promised I'd see. Meanwhile, with a smile, in the dark, I hearken to your voice and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night.
The epidemic expression of his glory, that's what he desires. What he requires to bring that about are yielded, shapeable vessels. Folks, world may have written off as a joke, that come from the dust of the earth and yet add the water of life and become shapeable clay. Shaped vessels to house and radiate the light of his glorious day. We have this treasure there in earthenware. And even as we walk in agreement, in harmonious, step by step, moment by moment, reliance and response to the King of Glory, his glory abides upon us as adornment. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. Glory of the Lord is come. Glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And it shall go forth east, west, south, and north. And it goes on to say in verse 2, for lo, great darkness will cover the earth, but the nations will come to your light. And there's that glory light invading the night in the political realm. You know where that's at? The Lord raising up a whole new breed of servant leader. Ambassadors and ambassadorettes, as closer to the Lord they get, shaped of their clay, become lampstands for the light of day. There he is invading the arena of professional athletics. Multiply Tim Tebow, Jeremy Lin. And there he is invading the marketplace, a whole new breed of entrepreneur coming up. Innovative, creative. There'll be conduits for considerable cash to invest in the kingdom. The Lord will entrust them. They'll realize money is a miserable master but a wonderful servant. They won't be intimidated or overly impressed, but be in trust with the wisdom of gaining wealth that will be invested in the advancing of the kingdom. And then there's those in the realm of entertainment. There's a whole new creativity coming up, this literary, cinematography, drama. Vessels shaped to house his glory and broadcast his story to the kingdoms of this world that begin to be annexed into the kingdom of our God. Child of the morning, sing a song. Lift up your eyes, behold the dawn. Let every fiber of your being be refreshed in his presence. Child of the morning, sing a song. Or radiate him. Disarm the yoke around your shoulders. Bow down your heart and life begins. Lay down your life and men will see a servant. And your Lord will see a praise. What he desires, the manifestation of his glory invading this earth,
what he requires, yielded vessels that would house that glory and be adorned by it, and what he designs to bring that about, the university of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we'll consider this evening. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Lord, there's none upon the earth that I desire besides thee, that's Psalm 73. My flesh and my heart faileth. God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. Now, as we go along in word and song with this theme, what God desires, the epidemic expression of his glory is the expression of his majesty, power, passion and value of people, and his purity. That's what he desires. What he requires are shapeable, moldable vessels who can handle the keel of adversity and be strengthened to be inhabited by his light. And what he designs to bring this about, the university of the Holy Spirit. Some of the courses are required. Some of them are electives. Faith under fire, that's required. Learning to forgive, relinquishing the right of vengeance. He is the avenger. The job is taken. None others need apply. No such thing as a Clint Eastwood anointing. Learning to give of our time and substance and talent with an open hand, becoming a conduit as we fellowship with the supremely generous one, being conformed to him, moving with him in the flow of generosity. Learning the sacrifice of praise to lift up the declaration of his goodness and greatness, the sacrificial fruit of our lips, irrespective of our surroundings, and to see God invade said surroundings. But there's electives. There's certain things that we just love to do. There's certain ways in which our soul chemistry flows and works of our natural inclinations. And we'll see something and we'll kind of walk around it in a circular kind of way, and the Lord will sidle up to us and say, "You really want to do that, don't you?" Say, "Yeah." He says, "Let's go do it together." I have a friend in Idaho Falls named Dale, and I've known Dale since he was a 20-something. He's 50-something now, and he's worked for the government plant out there in Idaho Falls for as long as I've known him. He's always wanted to fly. As a kid, he had the model airplanes hanging from strings and would take them out on trial flights and whatever. And his company was allocated some government funds. And once in a while, they do something right. And they actually made available flying lessons. He signed on, soaring with the eagles, went on to the next echelon, got his instructor's license, and he is one of the most sensitive, tuned-in, effective one-on-one evangelist I have ever known. And he gets people up in the wild blue yonder making all those aviation analogies from the scriptures and sharing with them, and leads people to King Jesus. That was an elective, something he'd always wanted to do. My friend Steve, who had been a pastor for 30 years in Ogden, Utah, started out his ministry in a radio station. People started calling in and getting radically, dramatically, miraculously healed. It was a little too much for the format of that station to handle, so they showed him the door. But he had developed quite a following that wanted him to be their pastor 30 years ago, and he became a pastor. But his heart was to be back in broadcasting with an unfettered format to where he could let both cannons roar. Eventually, the Lord ushered him out of pastoring. He had some withdrawals for a while, but like friends do, he and I stayed in touch. I remember saying to him, "You know, Steve, you're riding a horse that has served its season. It's starting to die." If it keels over on you, it's a hard time to dig your way out from under it. I've known some of the guys where that's happened, and they dug their way out from under it and just didn't know what else to do, so they just continue to drag the carcass across the desert. But there's a next phase, a next chapter, far from the end of the book, and the next thing you know, media begin to open up. A prayer for praying for the sick, an opportunity thereof. And marvelous technological abilities given his way, donated. And he and his son are teaming up and they're doing documentaries. And he's getting a number of invitations to come and conduct healing meetings. He's like a kid at Christmas. He's 60 years old now. I've known him for 30 years. An elective. Oh, he's come through faith in the furnace, I'll tell you. And about the time we think we may have gotten our PhD, we go back for some postgraduate work. About 3.5 years ago, my son and daughter-in-law, their marriage absorbed a torpedo from hell. Bless her heart, she went through an abusive childhood. And a lot of times, precious young folks long about their late 20s, early 30s, it finally just overwhelms the emotional baggage and the bruises on within. And it just takes them under. The enemy takes advantage. They might have been strong and stalwart in their statement for the Lord, but just those unresolved emotional wounds and baggage. And it overwhelmed her. She regressed into prescription painkillers, and it was like all hell broke loose in that household with a little baby son caught in the mix of that. My son came to me with tears in his eyes. He recognized his detachment in some ways that had facilitated that. You know, being a young husband, we had a triad of prayer right there and wept and agonized in the living room. The Lord began to give us the arsenal of promises to claim and to name in faith's confession and in praise and in worship. Things got manifestly worse before they got better. And the Lord met her in rehab on suicide watch and turned that around radically. Begin to heal her heart. And let me tell you, this gal is special. There is wonderful potential. The enemy tried to just whack her down like a weed, but she's been a rose in the desert. And the way she's come forth, she's become the daughter we never had. And we've become parents like she's never had. And our little Jackson, Action Jackson, also answers to Spike Tyke. To see that little guy blossom now at age going on 6.5, and to see that turned around, and about 2.5 years ago, I remarried them, officiated, and have seen them just progressing wonderfully. And we know through a lens up close, a Zoom lens, how they're doing because they're living with us. Sometime the eagles come home to roost, and they'll be on their own in the next few months. The Lord is turning some things around for them financially. God is good, but I'll tell you, it was faith in the furnace. Learning to forgive. I recall, you know, the very first pastoral position I ever had was a youth pastor. And the pastor was something of a preaching machine, a real pulpiteer, but had some perverse practices backstage. I didn't even know about them. Some did, and he would send me out to try to woo them back into the fold. When I learned what he was doing and how I was being used, let me tell you, I was barbecuing in my adrenaline. And I remember coming to grips with God and expressing the anger I felt. Him telling me, son, I'll take care of it. Lay aside those vengeful inclinations. You're releasing a sawed-off shotgun, the recoil of which will dent your soul. Let me take care of it. And let the fresh air of my freedom blow through your renewed mind that comes with forgiveness. Been there, done that a number of times since then. My wife and I, in times of need financially, own paper, and the Lord telling us, sow seed out of your need. And he would invade that and turn it around dramatically. We're not independently wealthy on paper, but our needs are met with money left over, and we love the joy of giving. And if we were independently wealthy, we'd be doing just what we're doing. We live simply and we enjoy it. We'd be doing it and are. Let's go back a little while with a story that might kind of make you smile.
the conceiving of the University of the Holy Ghost, King Jesus Christ is the founder, the chancellor, the president of the Board of Regents, and the one who arranges the curriculum for each of us. And it's not one size fits all. Oh, we'll share a lot of the classes, but we begin to discover our major, our minor. It might be a double major. Long time ago, I learned my major was the prophetic, my minor was teaching, my giftings in the natural mode were storytelling and music. And he hones the edge. And I learn every time I issue forth at any given meeting. There's required courses, electives. There's crash courses in crisis management when the enemy comes in like a flood and we're reduced to one-word prayer, Jesus. And the Lord shows up and shows off and does what only he can do. He'll take us aside for little workshops pertaining to our work or our marriage. Priceless nuggets shared. But let's go back to the beginning. Now there's God and Adam, they're walking along and they're sharing a song in the garden, keeping their appointment in the cool of the day. Adam listens open-hearted, wide-eyed, listening to everything that the Lord does say. The Lord does say, Adam, I spoke the galaxies into being. I'm the creator of all things. But as I looked at my handiwork and focused on one particular aspect of it, this modest orb known as planet Earth, I had purposed from before to crown said globe with the supreme statement of my creativity, humankind. That's where you and Miss Eve came into being, son. And I, the God of the galaxies, and the embrace of God enveloped him like a warm, fragrant breeze as the Lord spoke. I appoint you and Eve as CEO of planet Earth. You're not puppets lethargically hanging loose waiting for me to pull your strings. You are partners who move forth motivated by the manifestation of my glory. And as you step forward, I intersect your initiatives with marvelous enabling grace. And the gears of your faith enmesh with my master gear that turns the universe. And together we will partner in bringing forth the covering of this planet with my glory. The evil one, the rebel, has been hurled out of heaven. And we will walk together in a harmony of peace and in a perfect cadence in partnership as you tread spirit-led. You will hear the serpent's spine like castanets cracking under your feet. You're a partner, a junior partner, being mentored as a radiating lampstand of my glory to cover the earth. And I'm fashioning you and mentoring you in my school of the Spirit, training you to reign. Look at the green sheen of the foliage. You see the marvelous contrast of the fruit and flowers, Adam. It's beautiful. Look at the feathery grace of the birds, the shimmering sheen of the fish in the clear water, the great musculature of the large animals, the cuddly cuteness of the small ones. Adam says, yes, Father. I remember when you delegated me to name them. It was just last week. And you said, Adam, I want you to name the animals. And first I wanted to say, aw, shucks, with a humble shrug and say, oh, Lord, why don't you do it? But then it dawned on me, you told me to do it. And so with a little bit of stammering and studying at first, I would point out one and I would name him and I would sense this delightful chuckle coming from you. And at times you would laugh right out loud, wonderfully entertained and joyful. And at times, Father, you would be wide-eyed, ecstatic with delight as you saw the creativity that you deposited in me coming forth to the praise of your glory. One day, they didn't show up for the appointment. And we know what happened. Eve, at least, had to be pitched. Adam, he just shrugged and took a bite. Eve's in the garden. The tempter sidles up and he begins to sing his song to get her to dance to its corrupt cadence. As he's pitching,
his wares. Trying to get them to be their own God, to be their own king, judge, and deliverer. His song probably could have sounded something like, "There's no business like God business, no business I know. Be your own king, judge, and deliverer, just like me, 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 me." She says, "Sir, I perceive that maybe you're a tempter." "What's wrong with that?" "Sure, I'm a tempter. Mighty proud to say I'm a tempter. That starts with a T, and that rhymes with me, 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 me." "Yes, sir, you got trouble right here in the garden, and the garden trouble is God. He doesn't want you muscling on the God business. The old boy doesn't want the competition. He's holding out on you. Yes, sir, you got trouble right here in the garden. That starts with a T, but here comes me, 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 me. There's no business like God business. Just take a taste and see." And you know what happened? Of course, they didn't show up for their appointment, but the Lord sensed this huge, humongous quake with planet Earth as the epicenter, rattling the stars, and the agony in his heart. But Isa wasn't thwarted. He'd had a plan in his hip pocket from before the foundations of the earth, and it was a high-level huddle, a planning meeting. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the triune God is one, converging. Father speaks. "We're going to see the formation of a people that had no culture before, but they will have a culture that mirrors me. They will receive the inscription of my beautiful moral law. They won't be able to keep it, but I'll just let them know they need a Messiah, and they'll still see it's the most make sense way to live in the meanwhile. I'll give them ceremony and have liturgy that will symbolize and point to Messiah yet to come. And in the fullness of time, Holy Spirit, you will impregnate a beautiful Jewish virgin. And son, you as the divine seed formed as a man-child within her, stepping out of eternity to be thus formed, will come forth from her. And you'll walk in communion with me and enabled by the Spirit. You'll be tempted at all points, but your job is to thwart that. Your inheritance will be a bride, a people that with doting, lavish love you can pour out on. And their inheritance will be us and our shared life, covenant with a capital L. You'll personify my power and might, which you do anyway, and you'll do it in human form because you're God. And you go through the mockery of a trial. You'll descend into the grave, and my voice will invade and shake the tomb, and you will awaken and rise. Vain religiosity and death and the power of sin and its penalty will be defied. All hell will feel the quake. And you'll arise and you'll spend a brief season of 40 days with our apprentices. And then with angelic escort, you will ascend on high. And then Holy Spirit, with a special mission, you will give the revelation of the restoration of Edenic relationship as Eden once again will be in the hearts, and we will walk in the cool of the day together, and we will strategize on the broadcasting, the manifestation of my glory, my expressed excellence, and I will form and shape and mentor men and women to be lampstands that will thus radiate my majesty, my power, my purity, my love. And we will establish a school of the Spirit in which this will progressively occur." And day by day, we come aside for that fresh transfusion of the heart, renewed in his priority of purpose, the desire above all things, the manifestation of his glory in and through our lives. We begin to see windows of opportunity all over the place, and we step forward with faith initiatives thus motivated, And the Lord intersects our initiatives with this marvelous pouring out upon us, an overspillage of grace, divine enablement. We don't learn it all overnight. There's progressive life lessons. Oh, there's those required courses in the School of the Spirit. Those marvelous electives. And we're going to move on with this theme after a few personal words or two. When it comes to the prophetic, and even especially if it's personal, anything with that postscript, so says the Lord, has got to be laid alongside the written rod of God. It's subject to the breath of Scripture, the witness of the Holy Spirit within, and I submit it to pastoral authority here. And this evening it would be for the purpose of edification, that's to build up, underscore your new creaturehood, who you are in Christ, to exhort or stir up, to gently stoke the inner fire of Godward desire, and comfort where we've been roughed up by the world system and Satan, that old thug. The healing embrace of Abba. Jesus is here and His Spirit so sweet, moving among us and washing our feet. Each new breath we're breathing now seems to repeat, Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here and He's touching each mind, freeing us now from the thoughts that would bind. Open your heart and I'm sure you will find Jesus is here right now. There's a personal word. I'll ask your name. I believe technology's afforded. It's being recorded, right, Chuck? So you can continue to listen to it later. If you sometime we're publicly being encouraged, our heart's blessed, our mind can get a little boggled and leak somewhat. It's good to hear it again. What is your name right here? Yeah. Judy. Gentle, vivacious, and yet when it comes to warfare, a lioness, a Deborah. One who stands strong before the throne. And enters into an agreement of travail with the King who never fails. Often there, you'll sense His passion and care, which you share. And He'll issue forth in promise and give you vision of what He wants to do. You'll see light at the end of the tunnel, especially for loved ones. And you'll declare those to the praise of His glory in His name. And in ever-growing measure in their lives, He will descend and begin to mend. And He just encourages you exhortatively in the good thing that you're already up to. He will expand you and let you know that that light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. Right here, what are your names? John and
Lee.
Lee. John and Lee. Jesus said it in Song of Solomon. I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride. Ah, the fire of friendship and romance that burns bright, but also a brother-sister mode in the spirit. Often you will cross-pollinate prophetically as you share. Already a healing channel to one another. Man and wife, and yet in the spirit, sister and brother. And in growing freedom, you'll begin to express and revelate as you conversate. It'll be like a marvelous feast of revelation understanding on the table. A marvelous coalescing of oneness. And yet, as the Lord often does in bringing people together, your soul chemistry is very opposite in many ways. Baritone is not an alto, and alto is not a baritone, but they make beautiful music together. And even in your appointed places in the marketplace, John, obviously tall of stature, and yet a lighthouse in the spirit that will burst through the fog of those laboring under cultic and secular deception. And with a cool voice of anointed reason, you will speak to them. Leah, listening ear, and yet a marvelous gift of mercy. And times when you conversationally cut loose, and the next thing you know, there's this overflowing of the knowing that the Lord has placed within you. But a particular prophetic vision for children and grandchildren to see the visitation of wholeness upon them. And the Lord is your rear guard. And although times and occasions in them have been very hard, and the Lord will bless them retroactively in special ways in these days. And as the curtain rises, you'll have the best seat in the house. What is your name right here?
Pete,
you look familiar to me. Did I give a word over you the last time? Okay, well, it's about time this time. Sometime I do, you know, the next time around, and it's kind of an instant replay with footnotes. Pete, you're an unusual, unique kind of an individual. You're one of these guys who's out of the box, but not out of his mind. And as I'm saying that, there's several of you in this room that are like that. Chuck is another one over there. It's the kinship of the out-of-the-box fraternity. And not that any of you are bound by a box, but there's some that come off as so unique, and some would think bordering on bizarre, but that's not the case. A marvelous gift of droll and one-liners, the dew of humor abiding upon things that you would say as you would prophesy in a conversational kind of way. The Lord would give you pictures, and you would verbalize what you're seeing. Unique analogies and metaphors. Truth packaged in unique gift wrap. And folks might have said, I've heard that before, but never quite in that way. Been through an unusual zigzag past history. The Lord has been there demonstrating his care and bringing you into your very best seasons, Pete. All right. As for me, I was saved in 1963. A bygone day, a student at UCLA. The ruin's brewing up to that point. Bruised of soul and completely out of joint. But the Lord showed up on a scene that had been deadly and mean, and I received and believed, and he began to turn my life radically around. I heard his call, and like a lot of us do, I filled in the contract with some notes of my own and assumed that meant theological seminary. As I was getting some grade points resolved at UCLA and looking at some prerequisites for Fuller down there in Southern California. Unbeknownst to me, this was 1965. That I knew, but I didn't realize that my draft deferment had lapsed. And those Fuller expectations became fleeting. Got a letter in my mailbox that said, greetings from my dear old Uncle Sam. And the next thing you know, it's no joke. I was at Fort Polk, Louisiana, feeling lower than a second banana for sure. Lord, thinking, where did I veer from your appointed miles? I feel light years away from your smile. But he sidled up to me after a particular rough training day and turned my attention to Psalm 61. When I cry to you from the ends of the earth, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And he did. I could find a new cadence to my supreme commander, King Jesus Christ. He began to meet me in the climate of the United States Army. I didn't get sent to Vietnam. There were many that did, and if you are here and did, God bless you and thank you for your service. If there's any residue of woundedness, God continue to heal you. I was sent to Korea instead. And I remember of that plane coming in. And Korea, South Korea, has come a long way since the 60s. Let me tell you, that's an extremely efficient army, a strong economy. They've seen spiritual revival. But back then, you're coming in for a landing, and it kind of looks like Tijuana as a nation with bad winters. And I remember I was assigned up in the DMZ there, north of Seoul, tromping around with infantry, pack on my back, battling mosquitoes during the monsoon. Had just got there before that with a spring thaw and that cold, penetrating wind. And then the rains did descend. Faith in the furnace. The Lord was there. But He was about to bring an elective my way. I continued to hear Armed Forces Radio, and they began to advertise they needed a fourth guy in a folk music group that would be special services entertainment on assignment. Now, up to that time, I had been scared spitless of singing publicly. I spent a lot of time with my voice and guitar in private concerts in my room, and I had a huge repertoire of folk music. And to this day, I enjoy grassroots folk music. There's something in my Celtic legacy that springs forth, especially when I hear worship in Celtic flavoring. My background, Southern Appalachia. You know, when I hear the song Shenandoah sung. And I thought, Lord, dare I? Should I? And He didn't say anything. He kind of let me muse and explore and think. And one day He sidled up to me and said, you really want to do it, don't you? I said, I do. He says, let's go do it, and I'm going to heal you from a king-size problem with stage fright, and I'm going to release you in a whole new venue of creativity in music, and you are going to eventually see the formation of a folk-flavored music that will glorify me. But let's go down and audition. And I did. And I went from the worst duty in Korea to the very best. I was there, folks, on a post where you had the large military choir, the band, all of the athletes. And these guys are all dreamers. And let me tell you, they will listen to about anything that's spoken authoritatively and from just a real deal, gut level place. And I had a chance to share the Lord with so many of those guys. But began to just be mentored further in my music, kind of swapping blues licks with the brothers. Sometime we'd get together in a part of the barracks and just have a marvelous time. And then some of the times that were the guys that were country oriented and just a marvelous time musically. And yet there was a softness and an opening to hear from the Lord. I was getting kind of soft with the infantry. I'd been tough as whip leather. I thought, who would have thunk it? You know, here's an elective folk music in the University of the Holy Ghost. But I'm getting soft, Lord. This kid named Che Sung Han, who is a third-degree black belt in Hapkido, bounces into the barracks. He's not filled with Eastern mysticism or the kind of things that can be part and parcel of martial arts. In fact, he's completely unchurched. Just wants to make some friends and get some students and make a few bucks. So I sign on with Che, and I listen to everything he says out on the mat for 14 months. But afterwards, he listens to everything I have to say over coffee at the PX. And he's looking at me with this kind of stoic stare, and I'm wondering how much of this is he digesting. 14 months later, he bounces into the barracks, and he says, Dick, I'm a new Christian. Hallelujah. Why, who would have thunk that? Martial arts. An elective in the University of the Holy Ghost. As I emerged from the army, the Jesus movement was going full throttle. I began to play the coffee houses there. I would look on their marquees and bulletin boards at the group that had just come or individual before me and after me. I'd see names like Nancy Honeytree, Randy Stonehill, Larry Norman, second chapter of Acts. Later on, this marvelous bro with a fro named Keith Green. Mr. Chuck Gerard, and later on Barry McGuire, that I did a concert with at Camp Cedar Crest. Praise the name of the Lord. God said, Dick, had you gone to seminary, which was your plan, the academia of Fuller would have suffocated your creativity. He says, there's guys that are called for that, but you're not one of them. It's not one size that fits all. You are uniquely, divinely designed with a particular deposit that I cultivate and mentor you in the declaration of my heart and mind as I would live through you and you would partner with me. And the learning continued and continues. But you know, it's interesting, folks. The Lord is not into forced early retirement or corporate downsizing. Your best seasons are always to come as we're fixated upon Him. This September, I'll turn 72 years old. Can't remember when I felt better. I have, but I can't remember when it was. The required courses continue on an expanded level, but so do the electives. Just over a couple of years ago, right around the corner from our home in Boise, Idaho, there was a new dojang or taekwondo school. A couple, Baptist in their background and being, had come from Chicago, Master Song Yung Lee and his wife Mia. And I had seen this huge sign set up, and my son Jackson, our son Ryan, said, Dad, how about if we connect Jackson in that school? I said, well, let's go talk. Let's go sense the spirit of that school, because there can be some mind control in those places and so on. And I talked to this couple. They were wonderfully cordial, wonderfully hospitable. They had this wonderful Asian, especially Korean, formality about them, this tremendous work ethic. And so we enrolled Jackson. I began to see him bounce around in his little white pajamas doing his yells and his pumse, which are the forms, and having a blast. And I would watch him there in the room of the age 4 to 6 called the Little Tigers. But I would look over my shoulder and I'd see the older children, the teenagers, 20-somethings and the 30-somethings, cavorting on the larger mat. And I would think, you know, I've kept myself in pretty good shape. A lot of the moves in Hapkido are similar to what I'm seeing. It would be kind of interesting to show up here where nobody knows what I do vocationally. They wouldn't understand it if I explained it. And could be a lampstand, and you would shine forth and you'd cultivate relationships that would release me to partner with you in sharing you here. And I begin to think about this and put it before the Lord prayerfully. First, He didn't say anything. He just listened to me. One day while I was watching them work out, He sidled up to me and said, you'd really like to do this, wouldn't you? I said, yeah. He said, let's go do it. So I took 4 trial lessons, and I was amazed at the flexibility I still had and my abilities to react. I wasn't as fast as the 20-somethings, but I wasn't as slow as they thought I was. And I used to go down and spar with the guys in Korea and learn some pretty sneaky tricks. You know, let me tell you, it's all light contact at this school. I don't do the full contact. I know guys that do, and they're walking around perpetually with some gimp or limp or dent or bruise or laceration. It's light contact, and a lot of it's even non-contact. But it's interesting, the sparring sessions that you have out there and getting to know some of these guys, and in the locker room, some of the conversation that goes on. One of the guys I had a chance to share with was a retired professor of philosophy from Boise State University. And it was a lively headbutting there for a while. ended up out in the parking lot, and it was getting pretty warm in our discussion, and he said, you know, Dick, I believe I'm here to straighten you out in some ways. And I said, Andrew, I'm already getting straightened out. My mentor in Life Coast is King Jesus Christ. I'm a work in progress, but he's on the job. And he backed off and said, you know, that's to be respected. I read his book, interestingly enough, and found out that he had an ache to see values restored to America. He wasn't some granola-spouting lefty loon. And he saw I wasn't some goody-two-shoes or sawdust rolling snake handler. There began to congeal a friendship and communication there. Who would have thought it? Martial arts at age 71, approaching 72, an elective in the University of the Holy Spirit as the processing goes on. Right about in that time frame, Donna and I were watching some folk singers at a coffee house, Moxie Java, and somebody got wind somehow that I was a singer guitarist and said, hey, you, sir, whoever you are, would you come up here and do a song? And I did. I sang Montana Morning. Divine appointment, his name is just like ointment, rubs it into my needy soul, I'm worshiping my God. I could sense the Holy Spirit moving all over Moxie Java. They said, would you do another one? I did. I Got a Name by Jim Croce. There was relational, conversational, engendered, and I've been invited to come there and do an hour and a half set and do whatever I want to. There'll be a table of folks interceding there, too, as I do. Folk music. Some of my own original and some of that's out there that I picked up with the Lord producing and directing a certain package in a set in a way that he can inhabit. Praise the name of the Lord. Folks, for such a time as this, the body of Christ is congealing, the church is realizing its identity, is the vehicle, the vessel to make the kingdom visible. His kingdom of the King of Glory, to be agents anointed, to see the permeation of his glory invading this planet at the expense of evil, exposing it. And who knows to what degree he's going to maestro it until the finality of his appearing. I threw away my colored charts a long time ago. I don't have it figured out. Used to could tell you the left pinky toenail on the beast what it was. I don't care. To be cultivated as vessels, lampstands, earthenware that house his radiance, that shine that forth in all kinds of quadrants of society, and to be progressively fashioned and schooled in the art of the heart of enmeshing our faith gears with his in the University of the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I've had some crisis happenings. Managed to get through a flash flood in Nevada. We were three of us in a huge Lincoln Town car, and this just this massive stream of water. We came across and it was going to just rush us over to the side in this mass and mire of water and mud, and we screamed out Jesus with a bursting forth in tongues, and somehow that Detroit Steel got traction and we got through it. I remember a time of being at a meeting of folks that had French fried their brains on drugs. There was also a witch's coven that was there that evening, a motorcycle gang, and right at the peak of things, this big guy comes lumbering out of the crowd. He's about 6'6", and he looks down at me snarling something, and I remember of just under my breath saying, Jesus, into your hands I commit my being, and proceeding with my testimony, and then I start to sing my song. He's still glaring at me. I close my eyes, and I sing, and when I open them, he is quietly shifted over to my right side, big tears falling on the planks of that platform. He receives Jesus, and there's an epidemic stampede of those that come forward. Sometimes it's very gut level, down home, close to home, and I'll turn a corner with what I've got to share and bring this in for a landing this evening. I'll tell you, I'm a work in progress. Don't have my PhD in anything I've said tonight. I'm further along in it than I was the last time I saw you, as I believe you are too. My wife and I had finished a tour in Northern California, And it had been a typical tour, twice on Sunday, Monday through Friday, throw in a luncheon or two, and I get stronger as I go. However, at the end of the last meeting, a half an hour after it, it's like my mind turns to mush and I can't put two sentences together. And I don't have to. I just curl up in the Lord's lap and relax under His smile. I get that sense of well done. If He wants to tweak some things, I hear Him. And that's usually what I do. But I don't know why I kind of hit a detour from off the freeway. I begin to red pencil and analyze my own performance with a fleshlight. If you've ever done that before, it's a garbage expedition in disguise. And the next thing you know, the enemy is showing me the game films and underlining all my faux pas or what I could have said better or should have said. And I get a case of ingrown eyeballs. Donna sees I probably shouldn't be driving. And so she drives, and we are leaving Northern California, and we're in that wasteland, that expanse between Reno and Winnemucca. Have you ever been there? It's some of the ugliest landscape on the face of the planet. And I'm driving along. Well, here we are again. Between Reno and Winnemucca. Murmur, murmur. Is there life after Reno? Murmur, murmur. Adam named the animals. I could name all the large rocks. Murmur, murmur. I'll name that one Gilbert. Murmur, murmur. Saying all this under my breath. And the Lord says, Dick, where were you in the school of the Spirit when I gave you that lengthy seminar on the sacrifice of praise? Spring up a well within my soul. I was there, Lord, murmur. Well, okay. Thank you that this car is running so well with so much mileage on it. You know, typical man. He said, okay, that's a start. Thank you that my wife is driving. We even get there faster when she drives for some reason. Maybe there's an element of translation in the Spirit there. I don't know. And I say, by the way, Lord, thank you for my wife. He says, hey, you're getting warm. You're getting warm. Thank you for the co-soldier she'd been, the best friend, my most compassionate corrector, diligent prayer warrior, the lady in my life, my lover. Thank you, Lord, for her. The Lord said, you're getting there. And then I thought I sensed Him say, turn on the radio. And you may say, were you absolutely sure? No, but what's it going to do? And if He'd have said, pull over and do a Tarzan yell in tongues and roll in the cactus, then I would have needed confirmation for that. You know, we learn to hear the voice of the Lord. It's trumpet-esque. It's clarion. It's liquid and flowing like water. His voice, the sound of many waters. Revelation 1:15, 1:5. It's like a trumpet. And it's also like authoritative thunder. It's the tonality that comes with what He's saying. And it's usually still small with a certain distance about it, but yet it's so soft and sure. Turn on the radio. I said, Lord, you know, there's one station you get out here. It's K-Hog, K-H-W-G, DJ is Latigo Travis, in case you were wondering. The Lord said, I know all that. So there's Latigo. He's spinning records. Every now and then he gets on the air, and I'd heard him several times. It's classic country, some of which I like and some I don't. And Latigo, he starts to say, I want to give you the number of K-H-W-G, and if you happen to have any requests dear to your heart, just let me know. We'll play them in sequence. The Lord underscores that. And He takes me back in time like He sometimes does. Takes you in time travel. I was remembering my heyday, late teens, early 20s. We used to gather around the radio and listen to the DJ spinning disc. And the guys would call in with songs to dedicate to the lady in their lives. And I'd remembered that. You know, music, golden oldies, can take you back. I'll remember the people I was hanging with, the kind of car I was driving, and whatever else. And I heard a song the other day, and I thought, you know, at that time I was driving a 56 Chevrolet hardtop, turquoise, and cream. Yeah. And I'm listening. And it's like it's all comes back again. Here's a song from Bob to Mary. Let It Be Me by the Everly Brothers. I bless the day I found you. I long to stay around you now and forever. Let it be me. I'm thinking, oh, that's so pretty. And then here's a song from Jack to Susie. Song by Rick Nelson. It's up to you. It's up to you. 'Cause I've done everything I can. It's up to you to prove I'm your loving man. I'm thinking he's putting her on the spot, that Jack. Susie's got her head screwed on right. She makes a request. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more. You had to get creative. This was before the days of Facebook and all that stuff. And I said, okay, Lord, you want me to request a song and dedicate it to Donna. And I said, don't you think that's kind of schmaltzy? He said, of course I don't. Why would I say it? It had that authoritative thunder to it. And he took me back in time again. Star Trek, the original, with Shatner and Nimoy in the group. And there was one of the crew members named Scotty who speaks with a Scottish brogue. And Scotty is viewing the wonders and the diversity of outer space, and he'll turn to Captain James Kirk and he'll say, they're not like us, Jim. They're not like us, Jim. And guys, I don't have to tell you, when it comes to women, they're not like us, Jim. They're not like us, Jim. There's this whole intricacy of soul chemistry and complexity that when it's orchestrated and love produces a symphony. We're fearfully, wonderfully made. Them wonderfully, us somewhat fearfully. And somewhat wonderfully. Okay, Lauren, I get the message. So I call in the number, which I'd written down on a McDonald's napkin when Latigo gave it out, and Latigo answers, and I'm thinking, oh my, what am I to request? And the Lord said, you are to request, you're the best thing that ever happened to me, by Ray Price. And I thought, okay. I said, Latigo, this is Dick. I'm driving with my wife, Donna. We're on Interstate 80. This was 3 years ago. We are approaching our 39th wedding anniversary. It'll be 42 this July. And he said, well, congratulations, you guys. I said, let me tell you, she is the treasure of my life, God's greatest blessing to me, and I want to dedicate to her, you're the best thing that ever happened to me, by Ray Price. And I heard the Holy Spirit say with authoritative thunder, you're going to score big on this one, boy. Latigo said, unbeknownst to Donna, she knew after I told her later, says, Hoss, I'm going to do this up big time. I so appreciate that. My woman and I just celebrated anniversary number 25. She's a gift to me from King Jesus Christ. Dick, I'm going to move your request to the top, and I am going to broadcast this big time. And sure enough, he does. He gets on the air. This is from Dick to Donna, his bride, the love of his life, his greatest God-given treasure. And he's dedicating this song to her, You're the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me, by Ray Price. I've had my share of life's ups and downs, but faith's been kind, doubts have been few. I guess some might say that I've been lucky, but I guess they could say it's all because of you. And if anyone should ever write my life story, for whatever reason there might be, you'd be there between each line of pain and glory, 'cause you're the best thing that ever happened to me. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. I looked at her, and one hand on the steering wheel, the other hand extended to me. We had a good smiley cry. The Lord had taken me aside for a little reacquainting with the difference of the soul chemistry in men and women. A couple of courses I'd had, but needed some review. Sacrifice of praise in the desert. And a memory was forged that we still talk about and smile about to this day. 3 years later, Eden revisited, invaded our hearts, was refreshed. Cab of our car. Another life lesson in the formation of two vessels in the University of the Holy Ghost, formed and fashioned to manifest His glory, even if it's in the up-close and personal setting of marriage, and especially if it's there. If the glory isn't in our home, we're going to have a hard time exporting it somewhere else. And I know some of you are here, you're in the midst of homes that are in turmoil, a few of you. But God, even there, is testing your mettle and fashioning and forging something very special in you. He's better things in store. Continue to trust Him. What is your name?
Nancy.
Nancy, gift of mercy, hospitality, conversational counsel, a nurturer, a real mama in Zion. So it's been and so it'll be increasingly. There'll be some you counsel whose lives are a combination of a soap opera and a train wreck. But they'll realize how loved they truly are as the healing love of the King comes through you. I continue to bless you, Nancy. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. A lot of times when the prophetic is spoken personally, it'll be distributed similarly all over the room to 2, 3, 4, maybe more others. Lord has a way of taking loaves and fishes and multiplying them and making it community property. So very often, you might feel inclined and led to help yourself to a slice of somebody else's prophetic pie because it sounded like it was divinely designed for you. That's perfectly legal in the spiritual smorgasbord of what God cooks up and puts out on the table there. CDs out there, by the way, are all music, and there's change and price information in an envelope there. You know, the Lord looks and sees the finished product that we're to be, and I recorded this, but I also did the graphics on here. My son is my older son, Derek, lives in Eugene, Oregon, is a much better artist than I am, but he didn't have time to do this, and I got this vision with my artist eye of a lion, and he was tender and yet regal. He was soft and yet authoritative. And I thought, you know, what media would I use? I thought a combination of the strength of charcoal for stark contrast and the softness of pastel. And I began to see the face of this lion in my spirit and got the implements and the tools and began to draw and color and see it come forth. The Lord looks down the corridors of our hope and future and sees the finished product that He fashions with the various media and tools, the supreme artist. We're all a work in progress. We're all enrollees in the University of the Holy Spirit. And we'll graduate to the next level at His appearing, but we will continue to learn and have a revelatory feast throughout the ages. God continue to bless you every step of your journey. Such a pleasure and a privilege to connect with you and share a lane for about an hour or so on the King's Highway. God bless you in your journey.